facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome and a fabulous Friday to you. It's the first Friday in Lent. You can believe that. We're going to get you all set up for the weekend. We're going to share with you how the book of Proverbs in the Bible can help you disconnect from social media. Now, many of you maybe have a Lenten idea to kind of get less connected with social media, get more connected with the people in front of you. That's the funny thing about social media. Sometimes it makes us present to the people who are absent and absent to the people who are actually present in front of you. How many times have I been to a restaurant and I've seen couples out on a date or families together and they're all texting under the table and they're not even looking at each other? Well, some of you want to disconnect from social media a little bit more this Lent, maybe get more connected to God and others. We're going to share how you can do that and how you can also, once you're disconnected from that, how you can reconnect with your family this weekend. I've got a great, great piece of wisdom to share, especially for dads, later in the show. And of course, producer Lucas is going to spin the week that was. So stick around for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're not going to want to miss it. If you want to connect with us, you can call 1-888-914-9149. It's a toll-free number to call on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. Of course, you can also tweet at me. At Cale Clark is my Twitter handle, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. Of course, we have a show account, too, at Cale Clark Show. Email, cale@relevantradio.com. So lots of fun stuff coming up. But first, I am joined right now live on the line by the D.C. correspondent, the Washington, D.C. correspondent for the Catholic News Agency, Christine Roussel. Christine, welcome to the program. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm so glad that you're on the show today, and we're going to be discussing a matter of great import, an article that you released today on CNA about what is the best fish fast food sandwich, a matter of great import, of existential angst for many Catholics. And before we do that, I just want to introduce everybody to you. You're a native of the great state of Maine, and I guess you could say we were practically neighbors as I grew up very close by in Nova Scotia. We used to get all of our American TV stations from Maine, so that's awesome to have someone from Maine on the program. We get a lot of callers from Maine, actually, believe it or not, Christine. Maybe they'll call in today, so we'll see about that. But you must be a good person because you are a big hockey fan, right?
I am a big hockey fan, yes. It's my favorite sport.
That's amazing. And so that's definitely a mark in your favor. Perhaps a mark against you is that you are a Habs fan. You are a Habs fan.
Oh, are you a Leafs fan?
Of course, of course. The Toronto Maple Leafs
are
the official.
Well, no, it's like disputed territory.
Is it ever? That is so true. I'm so happy that you brought that up because, yeah, if you live in Nova Scotia, and it's amazing that you knew that. That's great. So this is a regional thing. So if you grew up in Nova Scotia on the east coast of Canada, and maybe it's the same in Maine, I don't know, but everyone's kind of equally split between being fans of the Montreal Canadiens, the Boston Bruins, because Boston is pretty close by too, or the Toronto Maple Leafs. So there you have it. I don't know if it's like that in Maine, too. Probably more Bruins fans, I guess. But
definitely Bruins territory. I got some not-so-nice text messages after the Bruins won the Cup in 2011. But a lot of people of French-Canadian descent, like myself, are Habs fans.
Oh, to be sure. And listen,
we all like the Patriots, though.
You don't like the Patriots, or you do?
No, we all do like the Patriots.
You do, of course, of course.
That's the one thing that no one really fights on.
Yeah, there you go. You can all agree on that, absolutely. And were you happy to see Brady win the Super Bowl?
Mixed feelings.
Okay. We can get into that another time. Well, listen, the Habs have 24 cups. That's nothing. You can always, if somebody tries to razz you through a text message, you can always throw that in their face. 24 cups. You can't dispute that. Absolutely. So we do respect the Montreal Canadiens franchise on this program, to be sure. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're not here to talk about hockey, as fun as that may be. We're here to talk about fish sandwiches. And Lent, of course, is a season of penance. And as you know, there's no meat on Fridays, no meat for you. This being the first Friday in Lent 2021, you have done the Catholic world a great service by counting down on CNA the top five fast food fish sandwiches. And Christine, I have to tell you, I laughed out loud because I saw a tweet that you posted yesterday. And you wrote this, and I quote, "In a stunning attack on the Catholic community, Chick-fil-A will not be serving the fish sandwich this Lenten season. Stay tuned to CNA Live to see who we will crown the new champion of fast food fish." And sadly, you actually had to clarify that it was, in fact, a joke. They're not trying to target the Catholic community in any way.
No, but it was a shock, honestly. So normally, every Chick-fil-A is independently owned, so mm-hmm. owners can decide if they want to pander to the Catholic population and serve the fish sandwich during Lent. So the first Chick-fil-A I called in the area said, no, we don't have it. And the next Chick-fil-A was like, no, actually, nobody has it this year. So
wow.
that was my immediate reaction was to post that tweet because I was honestly shook.
That's incredible. Well, listen, other than Chick-fil-A's stunning departure from the fish sandwich game, what has changed in the 3 years since you guys last ranked the fish sandwiches?
So we also ranked the Bojangles Bojangler, which was my personal favorite name of a fish sandwich. And unfortunately, due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, Bojangles has made the decision to shutter the store that was nearest the DC office.
Oh, no.
And there was none that was really within like a reasonable driving distance for reviewing, which is unfortunate because I do like Bojangles normally. And then this year, we reviewed Arby's for the first time. Huh. And then we also, Wendy's and Popeyes both changed their fish sandwich from the 2018 offering.
Yeah, and that's a major
big
point
in your
article.
Big move in the world of fast food fish.
Absolutely. My guest is Christine Roussel from the Catholic News Agency, and we're talking about the top five fish sandwiches, which you need to know for Lent. And before we proceed with the rankings, we need to set the parameters here, because this is pretty serious research. What is, in fact, your definition of what makes a fish sandwich?
So for the purposes of this review, I chose only to review fish sandwiches, which I defined as a piece of fried fish in between bread. There's no grilled fish sandwiches available, unfortunately, for my arteries at any of the major fast food restaurants. And then for the sake of fairness, I got all of the sandwiches and then brought them to my house so that mm-hmm. they would all experience a little bit of the drive-through fatigue,
oh.
like degrading.
a little sogginess, maybe.
Really isn't a thing in Virginia, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's right. As it is in a lot of places. I think that's a good thing to put in the competition for sure, because, yeah, not a lot of restaurants are open in a lot of places. And one thing I did like about your ratings is that you did add a pandering bonus for those who offered a limited-time fish sandwich, you know, just for the Lenten season.
Religious people to come eat their food by offering a special item, I think we should recognize that.
I think so, too. I think, yeah, pandering points are good by me. My guest is Christine Roussel, and we're talking about the top five fish sandwiches from fast food outlets in America. You need to know this for Lent. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. Maybe you can call in and tell us your favorites. Well, listen, let's walk through the ones that you covered. Talk about the Arby's Crispy Fish.
So the Arby's Crispy Fish was new to the rankings this year and also new to me, since mm-hmm. I am pretty sure I've only ever ordered curly fries at Arby's, which are, like, really, really good. So I ordered the Crispy Fish, and mm-hmm. it was the only bun that only sandwich that was served in the sesame seed bun, which was interesting. I thought it was kind of an elevating factor to the fish sandwich versions. And it was honestly the only sandwich that I thought had an appropriate amount of tartar sauce, but those are basically the only good things, and everything else about the Arby's Crispy Fish was just kind of meh. It wasn't okay. actually that crispy. The name was kind of a bit of a lie. It wasn't soggy, but it was just like, it was like eating like an older french fry, you know? Like there definitely like was a crisp to it at some point, uh-huh. but it just kind of, it was disappointing, I thought.
Yeah, it's hard to factor in how much the drive home might have affected the sogginess factor. It's hard to know. But Arby's, of course, has their famous tagline, "We have the meats," you know. Do they have the fish, too? What was your final ranking?
I gave them 3.5 fishes out of 5 on the 5 fish scale.
Okay,
Which, like, it wasn't a bad time, but it wasn't a good time. But, I mean, also Lent is about penance, so, like, maybe this is appropriate.
There you go. And you got to give credit for the sesame seed bun, though, too. That's next level. That really is. And I should say this, too. My best friend in high school, Steve, he actually worked, you know, when he wasn't in school, he would work afternoons and weekends as a manager at an Arby's location. And that's pretty mature for a high school student to be a manager of an Arby's. I couldn't even do that now, much less in high school. So much respect, Steve, if you're listening. Well, let's move on now to the Burger King offering called the Big Fish.
Yes. The Big Fish did give me a stomach ache when I was done with it.
Okay, that's never a good start off.
But it was also similar to the Arby's. It was just kind of boring. Like, there was pickles and iceberg lettuce, which was, I thought, a good choice. But it was also, like, just too much lettuce.
Okay.
It was just kind of so you just tasted tartar sauce and lettuce when you like ate the sandwich, which and then like there was a vague fish product in there. And they used pollock, which is pretty flaky and just doesn't really have a strong flavor on its own. But and also it says they had tartar sauce, but like I've never seen tartar sauce that like didn't have any of like the relish bit of it, so I'm pretty sure they just mayonnaise on it. And the big fish sandwich had too much mayonnaise on it. And like I am not someone to shy away from like condiments. But it was, like, I was eating this and I was, like, had a distinct feeling of, like, doom come over me of, like, this is shortening my lifespan eating this sandwich.
My guest
is Which, again, could be great for Lent.
It's a penance unto itself. My guest is Christine Roussel from the Catholic News Agency, and we're counting down based on her article, which came out today. And you can certainly find that on the web, on their website. And her, by the way, Christine's Twitter handle, she's a great follow on Twitter. You should follow her at C Roussel, and that's spelled C R O U S S E L L E. And I have to say this. Yeah. You'd mentioned in the article that you didn't think they had tartar sauce on the Burger King fish sandwich. You thought it was mayonnaise. You know, come on. People are going to notice that. You can't say, oh, they won't notice. But I have two major questions about how you described the sandwich in the article. You said, first of all, the sandwich was wrapped in a dedicated wrapper specifically for fish. What do you mean by that? Like newspaper? Like what is a dedicated wrapper for?
I don't know how often you go to fast food places. I am trying to cut back on it. But so like, you know how McDonald's has like the box that says like Filet-O-Fish?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, so Wendy's, for instance, had the fish sandwich wrapped in a wrapper that had like chicken products on it, like spicy chicken. It's like how they wrap it a certain way, so that a certain part of the label is showing, like how you know it's a spicy chicken versus like a regular chicken. Mm-hmm. So this one actually had fish written on it, so you know it's a fish sandwich. Whereas Wendy's just put a sticker that said fish on it on top of the chicken wrapper.
It's a limited time offer. We can only get stickers. Yeah. We don't want dedicated wrappers. And I thought it was also funny that you said that the Burger King one, you specifically mentioned that it smelled decent. And I'm thinking, well, did the other ones not? Like, would they smell like, you know, that horrible fish smell like too much? Or anyways, I thought that was kind of funny. But anywho.
None of them smelled like overly fishy, but like I did think the Burger King one smelled good. I could also have just been hungry. I'm honestly not sure.
Well, I do love the fact that they had crinkle cut pickles on the Burger King sandwich. That's huge in my books.
Yeah, it definitely added an interesting texture.
Okay. All right, well, let's move on. Now, this caused a lot of controversy. You've got a lot of McDonald's fanboys who aren't loving it, so to speak. Your ranking of the McDonald's Filet-O-Fish. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it was just, the Filet-O-Fish was the original Catholics, please come eat food at my restaurant on a Friday product. And like that, there's something to be said for that. But also, it's not a bad sandwich. It's just that everybody else's sandwich are better. I don't think they've changed the Filet-O-Fish recipe since it was first debuted in the 70s.
Probably right.
So maybe the 60s, I'm not sure. But I don't think they've changed the menu, the recipe since then, which, you know, times have changed. Like, fast food trends have changed. And food trends have changed. And the Filet-O-Fish, unfortunately, has not changed. And it also just, like, there's, I mean, it's a fast food sandwich. Like, who are we kidding when you talk about, like, health and stuff?
Yeah.
But there's no vegetables on the Filet-O-Fish. There's half a piece of cheese, which is strange, but
it seems
to work.
I've never been able to figure that out.
And somebody in the responses on my Twitter actually said that they worked at a McDonald's and tried it with a whole piece of cheese and was like, that was too much. But I couldn't even taste the cheese. So, I mean, I guess to each their own. But I think it would just be a better sandwich if they put like lettuce or a tomato or like pickles on it by default and not have to like pay extra for it.
Yeah. I was always wondering like, why do they only put half a slice of cheese on it? Like they can certainly afford a full slice, but maybe it's a taste thing. Like you said, maybe they've sort of like gone through these focus groups and it was just too much. But anyways, now, so you ranked it last. I have to admit this. You ranked it last, but it did have, and it was the most expensive.
The Burger King one. They both got three.
Okay, yeah, they both got three, but McDonald's is, you know, one mark against it is it's also the most expensive one, even though it's not, you know, highest ranking on your list. On the good side, it has less calories than any of the other ones. I mean, that's a relative thing, I guess, but.
Yeah. And yeah. McDonald's, to its credit, has also put out coupons for the Filet-O-Fish for this time of year, but in the sake of fairness, I did not use those.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah, you don't want to be paid off or bought off by these guys, right? So with these coupons. Anyways, having said that.
Gold merches, yeah.
My guest is Christine Roussel from the Catholic News Agency. We're counting down the top fish fast food sandwiches for Lent 2021. Well, let's move on to some of the more meatier, you know, I guess you can't really say meaty when it comes to fish, but let's talk about the Popeyes Cajun flounder sandwich. And this is new this year. I saw ads for this. This is really interesting.
Yes, they definitely got a pandering bonus because they released the sandwich on February 15th, which is immediately prior to Ash Wednesday. So well done, Popeyes. I was thoroughly impressed with this sandwich, although I thought it could, my sandwich could have used a little bit more tartar sauce. Your experience may vary. But it had a spice to it, which every other fast food chain had just kind of neglected to think about.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like too spicy or overpoweringly spicy. So I thought that was good. And I, before I like took my first bite, I actually had the thought of like, I'm not sure I've ever had flounder before, but
yeah.
It was the only not pollock fish sandwich. Well, I don't actually know what the filet-o-fish was because the website link was broken, but it was the only not identified as pollock fish sandwich that I tried, and I think it made a big difference. Like, the flounder had some heft to it, and it tasted really good.
Wow, so they're anything but floundering.
Like, I would eat this on a not Friday.
Oh, wow. Well, wow, that's high praise. They're certainly not floundering with this sandwich or Popeyes. And, well, listen, that's another interesting that's another interesting trend, too, the move to pollock from cod. I remember cod was all the rage with these sandwiches a couple years ago.
Yeah, Wendy's had a cod sandwich, which we got to next, which they replaced it with a pollock sandwich. But it's been very, like, I mean, there's also been, like, a lot of emphasis on sustainability and, like, not using overfished species, which I mean, as someone from who grew up, like, next to an ocean, you get it. Like, I appreciate that. Like, you know, maintaining a livelihood for fishermen and for species and avoiding collapse and things like that. But, yeah, the choice of flounder was interesting on Popeye's part, and I'm wondering what led to that, because they used to have a fish po' boy sandwich.
That's right.
It was pretty good in its own right. But I'm not sure when that went away, but because this is the first time I've ranked sandwiches in 3 years. But they had it in 2018, and by 2020, it's been replaced by the far better flounder sandwich.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm starting to get really, really hungry. My guest is Christine Roussel from the Catholic News Agency. We're talking about the top fast food fish sandwiches for Lent 2021. Well, let's talk about the last one, the Wendy's Wild Caught Alaskan Fish Sandwich. What was your impression of this one?
Well, as I wrote in the article, after my first bite, I actually said out loud, and I live alone, so this is really weird, well done, Wendy, because I did not expect it to be as good as it was. And it actually, like, was crispy. There was an audible crunch, like, with the Popeye sandwich when I bit into it. Yeah, and, like, it was a good time. Like, I wasn't mad that I was eating this. The sandwich I tried in 2018 from Wendy's was overpowered with dill.
Okay.
And, like, that's, like, the main thing I remember from that sandwich was it tasted so much like dill. But I guess they might have tweaked the recipe or something. I don't know what they did, but they figured it out. And if you live near Wendy's and not near Popeye's and you really want a fish sandwich, I would go to the Wendy's.
Wow. And maybe the crunch is due to panko, right? That's a big thing now, too, right?
Yeah, I think the cod version of the sandwich was also panko breaded, but I don't remember it being extremely crispy, and I'm pretty sure I ate that one actually at the Wendy's, so there would be no excuse for that. But this one was a really good, like, it was really good.
Well, way to go, Wendy, I guess. Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. What are your final thoughts here? Let's go through the rankings. Okay, so we're going to break this down a little bit. We're going to give you an overall champion in just a second, but best filet. What'd you say to that?
The best filet I thought was Wendy's.
Okay, Wendy's.
I didn't think it was necessarily fair to put Popeye's there because it was the only one made with a different kind of fish.
Good point. The worst filet, in your opinion?
McDonald's. I feel really bad saying this.
Listen, we still don't know what it's made out of because they maybe intentionally broke that link, 404 not found. You know, what is this thing made out of? Anyways, well, we'll find out. I'm sure that they will respond. The best bread?
The best bread I thought was Wendy's.
Okay. The cheapest, for those on a budget,
was Arby's, surprisingly.
Arby's.
I mean, it was only by like 20 cents.
Hey, that could be a lottery ticket, you know, or the difference, you know. I don't know. Anyway, so the priciest option, we kind of already covered this. We gave this away. It was McDonald's. And I can't believe that because they don't even give you a full
calories.
The fewest calories, but not, maybe that's because they only give you half a slice of cheese. I don't know. But the most calories.
That was Popeye's because nothing good ever, you know, is good for you as well.
And the best overall, your gold medal winner would be?
Popeye's, although Wendy's put up a heck of a fight.
Wow. All right. Well, there you have. Well, listen, I really want to thank you, Christine, for coming on the show and also for taking a bullet for the team here, for putting your arteries at risk here and risking a stomachache, maybe several, testing these for the Catholic community. You've done us a great, great service. I appreciate that a lot.
It's the least I can do.
And by the way, folks, just so you know, Christine does do a lot more serious journalism than this. You can follow her on Twitter at C. Roussel, R-O-U-S-S-E-L-L-E. And of course, she writes for the CNA, the Catholic News Agency, at CNA Live is their Twitter handle. Christine, thanks so much for taking the time. Have a great weekend, and hey, have a fish sandwich.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I actually had sushi tonight for dinner.
Yeah, give yourself a break. All right. Well, listen, I really appreciate that. Thanks for your time, and hey, go Habs.
Yeah, go Habs, go.
All right. Thanks, Christine. That was Christine Roussel from the Catholic News Agency, counting down the best fish sandwiches, fast food style, for Lent 2021. Remember, it's a Friday in Lent. No meat for you, no meat for me. Got to do it right. We'll be right back on the Cale Clark Show right after this break.
The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
All right, we're back. I want to thank my guest in the earlier segment, Christine Roussel from the Catholic News Agency. Popeyes is your winner for the best fish fast food sandwich of 2021. And Karen Moran does tell me that there is a gentleman named Father Tony, a priest from somewhere out there in the internet land. And apparently he tweeted that he did order a Filet-O-Fish, but he was doing it online or through his McDonald's app, and he accidentally added bacon to it. That is a major rookie mistake, Father Tony. Come on, it's Friday in Lent. You should know this. You're a priest, for goodness sakes. Anyways, we're going to continue on. And, you know, speaking of things we give up in Lent, meat on Fridays is one of those things. A lot of people are looking to spend a little bit less time on their devices, on their smartphones, on their tablets, in front of screens this Lent, so they can focus on a little bit more on God, a little bit more on prayer, a little bit more on the people who are actually in front of you. As Cardinal Collins likes to say, sometimes smartphones make the people that you're actually present with absent, and the people that are absent makes them present. These people that you're speaking to out in the digital wonderland known as the internet. Anyways, read a great article by Brett McCracken on Crossway about digital discipleship. That's really what it's all about, digital discipleship. He's talking about, it's really fascinating how he does this. He talks about the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. And in Proverbs, if you've read it, if you haven't, I strongly suggest it. It's great. Great for practical wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, there are two women that are mentioned. One of them is called Lady Folly. And then the other one is Lady Wisdom. And basically, Lady Folly is this character who calls to you in the marketplace, a woman of smooth words, her lips drip honey. As the book describes, she is loud, she is seductive. She sits at the door of her house, calling to those who pass by. And Lady Folly is obviously contrasted in the book with Lady Wisdom. And obviously the message is you should be listening to Lady Wisdom. Your life is going to go a lot better if you listen to her instead of Lady Folly, who will lead you down the path to destruction. And there's a Protestant spiritual writer from decades past. His name was A.W. Tozer. He had some interesting things to say. And what he said could have been, he could have written this yesterday. Here's a quote from A.W. Tozer. He's talking about Lady Folly. He says, many people are brainwashed from 9 o'clock in the morning or earlier until the last eyelid flutters shut at night because of the power of suggestion. These people are uncommitted. They go through life uncommitted, not sure in which direction they are going. Now, he could have written that, like I said, last night. He could easily be describing our smartphone addicted lives. From the very moment we wake up, and I've been guilty of this too, until the moment we go to sleep at night, many of us are constantly scrolling through various feeds, through various apps. And most of the time, we don't necessarily have real urgent reasons to be doing so. It's just that the phone is there. I'm bored. Nothing else to do at this moment. So let's scroll. Let's surf. And we do this at every opportunity. If we're in the line at the grocery store, some people, you know, you shouldn't be doing this while you're driving, but some people, I've seen people on their smartphones while they're driving on the highway. Bad, bad thing. This is really sinful. You're putting other people's lives at risk, especially your own as well. You're waiting in the coffee shop for 2 minutes. Gotta check Twitter. Gotta check my messages. Gotta check my chats between one Zoom meeting and the next. But why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? The point is rarely clear. We swipe open a news app just to catch up on the news that we missed in the last 30 seconds since we checked it the last time. So why do we do this? It's not because we have an actual need or purpose to do it. And we have to remember that smartphones really are, or they should be, tools. They're very powerful tools. We're thankful for them. They've made life easier in a lot of ways. They've made it easier to live our faith in a lot of ways. Think about the Relevant Radio app and how powerful that is. But one thing that it can lead to is just having this impulsive reflex and really a passive addiction. And that makes us vulnerable. And this is what Brett McCracken says. It makes us vulnerable in a world where there are very, very smart people out there who've created some very smart algorithms that are waiting to kind of, in a sense, take advantage of us. Now, sometimes they're helpful to us. It's amazing when you're searching for something online and wow, there's an ad for exactly what I was thinking there on the page. Well, how does that happen? Well, they know what you're doing, and they're, in some ways, they're tracking you. And sometimes those ways in which apps and smartphones track you are not exactly legit or legal. And there's been a lot of fight about that in the online community. But here's the thing. Today's media environment is very prone into leading us to folly. We can really be unwitting victims of Lady Folly from the book of Proverbs. She's sort of called us with that siren voice, and we've fallen for it. So we're very, very vulnerable sometimes to the power of suggestion. These algorithms are so sophisticated at keeping us locked into a platform, locked into an app, keeping us distracted. And we've got to be really, really careful about this. Every time you see a suggested for you movie, say you're on Netflix, oh, this is suggested for you, you should watch this next. You could be on another TV series that could eat up hours or weeks or, you know, months of your life. Just another YouTube video that leads you down a rabbit hole. You've probably been there. I have too. But what's so insidious is that it's so dangerous for us is that the more time we spend online, the better the algorithms can predict about things that we want to see. And they can also, this is something we really have to watch out for as Catholics, they can place things before your eyes that can be really, really hard for you to resist. The devil is a very, very smart deceiver. He's a liar, but he's really smart. He has preternatural intelligence. He's a fallen angel, yes. He is fallen, but he's still, you know, supernaturally intelligent. And when he tempts you, and when he tempts me, he tries to tailor his temptations specifically to you and your personal weaknesses. Now, there are things that you struggle with. And if you go to confession and you're confessing the same things over and over again, hey, don't be ashamed of that, number one. You know, as Scott Hahn said, you know, one time he was saying, you know, I kept going to confession and confessing the same thing over and over and over again. I think he said this in his book on confession. The priest finally said to him, well, what do you want? New sins? You know, be thankful that you're, you know, you're only struggling with that thing, whatever it may be. So we all have our struggles. We all have our pet sins and things that tempt us in a particular way. And by the way, the devil can't read your mind. He can't read your mind. He doesn't know what you're thinking. But what he can see is what you're doing on the outside. He knows. He's watching the things that you're doing. He takes note of these things when he's trying to tempt you. So he's into your habits. And so are these algorithms. They know exactly how to get a hold of your time and your attention and just in some ways take away chunks of your life. And if you're not careful, they can lead you down a very dark path. And some people, unfortunately, through smartphone use, and especially this is true of the young, unfettered smartphone use, there's no filters involved, no parental oversight. They can easily get hooked into very, very dark things like pornography and just terrible stuff that's out there. So like Lady Folly, these algorithms can call out to the people who are passing by, and it's hard for them to resist. And what we've got to do is when we do go online, when we do pick up our phone, and maybe this is something we can focus in on a little bit more during Lent, do it with a purpose. Do it with a purpose. This is what McCracken says. The antidote to dangerous distractibility in the digital age is purpose, focus, and intention. Why are you doing this? In the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25, it says this, "Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you." Got to know where you're going, what you want, why you're there. This is wisdom in contrast to the woman of folly, Lady Folly, who says, actually Proverbs warns us against her by saying, she does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander and she does not know it. Proverbs 5:6. So don't be a digital wanderer. You've got to have a purpose when you're going online. Why are you doing it? Maybe set a time limit. Okay, I'm going to check Twitter, but I'm only going to do it for 10 minutes. I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole. The digital wanderer can ask for a lot of trouble. So have a plan when you go online. Go with a purpose. Stay online only as long as you need to. Be careful about just mindless surfing. Yes, you can see a lot of amusing cat videos. Yes, you can get drawn into a lot of debates, fruitless debates on social media. I don't know of anybody who's ever been convinced by an argument on social media about any issue, okay? So maybe not the best place to dialogue. People can be keyboard warriors, hide behind their keyboards, and say things online that they would never say in person. So got to be really careful of this and how you're spending your time, because we only have so many hours in the day. We only have so many hours in our lives that God has given us. Is this a good use of our time? These are great tools, but we've got to get a hold of them. When you open up YouTube, is it to watch a specific thing that you're looking for? When you reach for your phone, is it for a purpose or is it just out of pure habit? So if you're not going somewhere, you're going to go anywhere, and that's the problem. And the anywheres of the internet, as Brett McCracken says, are rarely good for us. So digital discipleship, think about that during Lent. Get some good media habits going. Try to be wise about this. Try to follow Lady Wisdom when it comes to your smartphone and your digital devices instead of Lady Folly. We're going to go to the phones right now. Oh, there was a caller. Unfortunately, they have dropped off, but that's okay. That means there's a line open for you. You can call me, 1-888-914. Maybe I answered their question automatically by what I was saying. I don't know. But anyways, 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call for the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Don't forget, coming up later, the week that was, producer Lucas Holt, he has gone through a lot to make this happen for you. So I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. I love this. It's one of my favorite parts of the week, hearing the week that was every Friday on the Cale Clark Show. So we'll be right back after this very quick break. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the program, 1-888-914-9149. We're coming into the final segment. We've got some great stuff for you, including the week that was. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. But first, let's go to the phones. Janet is on the line from Auburn, California. Janet, welcome to the show. And what's your comment or
Thank
question?
You. Yes, I find myself getting drawn into and going down the dark rabbit hole. I try to give myself a mental time limit, and then before you know it, it's been more than my time limit, and I've wasted and sat and done nothing for like 2 hours. And then I get upset or disappointed with myself.
Yeah. You know what, Janet? When I was in that previous segment that you're referring to, that we talked about digital discipleship and maybe not spending so much time on our phones, not going down the rabbit hole. Listen, I'm preaching to myself too, Janet. Believe me, I've been there. I do it all the time. And so it does take a lot of willpower, doesn't it, to tear yourself away? It really does. And part of it is just the nature of these things. Like, they are engineered to be highly addictive, these apps, these websites, the smartphones. And it's just unreal how that works. And there's been a lot of people that have talked about this. One guy who you might be really interested in reading from, and man, I'd love to get him on the show one day if you're listening, Cal Newport. Cal Newport, has written a book called Digital Minimalism, How to Kind of Get a Hold of This Area of Our Lives. And it's a good read, and he's got a great podcast, and he talks about some of this stuff. So keep up the good fight, Jan. I think it's really important not to beat yourself up too much about this stuff. Just say, hey, I'm going to try to do better next time, and be gentle with yourself as well. But to be aware, and I think you are, and that's important.
Thank you, and I like the title you give it, Digital Discipleship. Because
yeah.
It does seep into other areas of my life with, you know, significant others, rather than spending one-on-one, you know, quality time, they've got their nose in the computer or, you know, the smartphone. And it's like, I'm right here, and yet you're engaged with something else. You know, and then I end up like, okay, well, if they're not going to engage with me, then I'll just engage with my phone. And it's not healthy, and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
So I like the digital discipleship.
Yeah,
stuck out to me.
That's a great phrase, and it's Brett McCracken who coined that phrase. I think it's really good, and I think something really as the church in general needs to start thinking about how can we make better digital disciples of people. That's just something we could think about in years to come for sure. And yeah, I emphasize with you, and in fact, at our family dinners, you know, in the pre-COVID days when we had a lot of people over, I started this new tradition, a family tradition of I brought out a basket and I made everybody put their smartphones in the basket before the family meal so we could have actual conversation, you know, and it does make a difference. It really helps people to be more engaged with the folks who are right in front of you. And that's the thing. So really appreciate that call, Janet. Thank you so much. And God bless you this Lent.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. You got it. That was Janet calling from Auburn, California. Great call. Really appreciate that. Next, we're going to go to Susie, who is calling from St. Charles, Illinois. Susie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi.
Thank you for your show. I love it. My husband and I listen every night, and most of the time in the afternoon, too. But I just wanted to restate what Janet just said. You know, I sit down with my phone waiting for the dryer to finish. And, you know, the dryer will be finished 30 minutes, and I'm still sitting on the phone doing mindless stuff. So
Yeah. Thank
you for that. I really appreciated that advice, and I'm going to follow it, let me tell you.
Yeah, well, thanks, Susie, and I'm going to try to follow it, too. I mean, it's really, really important, absolutely. And thank you very much for your kind words, and thank you for being a faithful listener of the program. Really appreciate that. God bless you. And hope you have a really happy and holy and fruitful Lent, along with all of our other listeners as well. So thanks so much, Susie. That was Susie calling from St. Charles, Illinois. And if we're going to disconnect a little bit with our devices, we can reconnect with the people around us. And if you're a dad, this is especially for you. If you know someone who's a dad, you might want to pass this on. My friend Brett Powell has written a great little blog post about 8 ways that dads can affirm their kids. So as we're going into the weekend, hopefully we're going to be, again, more disconnected from work and from our devices, reconnect with family and friends around us. If you're a dad, this is for you. This is for you. Brett Powell is a really, really good guy, and he works with the Archdiocese of Vancouver in Canada. He's got a great blog, brettpowell.org. Talks a lot about leadership. We have to be leaders in our families, and I thought I'd share this with you. Because dads, as he says, they have a very, very important job description. They've got to paint an accurate image of God the Father by the brush of their example. I really like that. We have to paint an accurate image of God the Father as dads by the brush of our example. So many people don't want to hear anything about God the Father because they've had a negative experience with their own human fathers. And as Brett talks about, dads and moms, they both have an irreplaceable role. Because if we want our kids to be emotionally, intellectually, spiritually mature, very often a lot of that comes from the confidence that they get from their parents. So he talks about 8 ways that we can affirm our kids, as dads especially. And God the Father affirmed Jesus, right, at his baptism when he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So here are 8 practical ways that you can affirm your kids. Number one. Spoken words. That's so important. At any moment, at any time, you can speak a word of encouragement. Something like, "Hey, Hannah, I've noticed how positive you've been with your younger siblings. I really appreciate it, and so do they. Well done." So that's something short and sweet. A verbal affirmation. It doesn't have to be elaborate, only sincere. So spoken words, really, really important. Number 2, quality time. Busyness is a modern day curse. What you do with your free time communicates what matters most to you. And one of the things that Brett Powell says is that your kids know, they know how busy you are. They can tell. We're all busy, and your kids know this. So when you give them quality time, it speaks a very loud message of love to their hearts. And he mentioned something that another Catholic writer, Steve Wood, says. He says that kids spell love in this way. They don't spell it L-O-V-E. They spell it T-I-M-E, time. That's what your kids really need from you, is time with you. Not more gadgets, not more stuff. They need you. The third thing, the third practical way that you can affirm your kids is with something he calls lunch bag notes. Lunch bag notes. So he says you can just take out an index card and write down something like, five incredible qualities I see in you. You know, number one, you always work hard at soccer practice. You clean up after you make a mess in the kitchen. You use your words to bless others. You have a deep peace in your heart when others are stressful. And you are generous with your toys and with your sports equipment. You know, those are five quick things, you know, five incredible qualities I see in you. So you can kind of go wild with this, like let your imagination run wild. How can you affirm your kids with little notes? And he says that for 20 years, he and his wife have been doing this with each other. Brett Powell and his wife, they write affirming messages to their kids and also to each other. He and his wife on Valentine's Day especially, they'll just take, you know, a piece of cardstock, cut it into the shape of a heart, and write some affirmations to each other. So that's awesome. My wife actually does this for me a lot. She'll leave me little notes somewhere, like on my desk or in a book that I'm reading, telling me, oh, I love you, or you're doing a great job. And I really appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. It just helps me know that she's thinking of me and that she loves me. So the fourth thing he says is surprise gifts, surprise gifts. Now he says these don't have to be expensive, by the way. You can just pick up a small gift for no other reason than to say, I was thinking of you. So he gives the example of picking up his kids after soccer practice, and he gives them a carton of chocolate milk. You can get one at the gas station for, you know, less than $2. So when the kids get older, maybe the chocolate milk can become a coffee, and maybe you can have a chat over a cup of coffee. So it's just little small gifts, and you can maybe Google some ideas of, you know, inexpensive surprise gifts for people, and that will really brighten up their lives in really surprising ways, and maybe get some conversation going with you and your child. Number five, these are Brett Powell's eight things that dads can do, and moms can do them too, of course, to affirm their kids. And number five is honor them publicly. Honor them publicly. So here's some ways you can do that. You can talk to other people about your kids when you know that they're listening. Maybe some people are over at your house, or you're around some other people. You could speak up about some virtue that you see in your child, and they can hear it. And they, wow, my dad is speaking well of me. That's great. And the book of Proverbs, we talked about this earlier in the show, the book of Proverbs, what a great biblical book. It encourages this. It's a great book to read for practical wisdom. It says, not with your own mouth, but let others praise you. And so parents are in a great position to do just that. Simple, sincere words, not exaggerating, right? But simple and sincere words in public about your child can really build up their self-confidence and their dignity. Number six, express physical affection. Now, it's easier when the kids are young, but kids need this even when they're older. Even teenagers, even though they don't seem like they want to, you know, hug you or anything like that, some days they really, really want to. And, you know, just, if they're uncomfortable with hugging, you can just put a hand on their shoulder and say, you're awesome, to your child. And that can communicate the same message. And my wife and I had this little chat last night. You know, my daughter is five now. She loves being around mom, loves hugging mom. But there's going to come a day when maybe she's a teenager and she might not want to do that. And as she says, you know, she's reading this book where the author says, it's like you get the smell of the apple, but you really want to just take a bite. You know, and eventually you're just going to have to be content with the smell of the apple because they may not want to hug you. Number seven, attend to their heart. What does he mean by that? Try to understand their feelings. Creating a safe place for your child to process the emotional roller coaster of life. It's incredibly validating. Kids really appreciate it when someone in authority actually listens to them. Now, that doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they're saying or their perspective, but just trying to understand them and how they feel, that can deepen the bond between you. And the last thing, number eight, of the eight ways that you can affirm your children, celebrate good decisions. So much about parenting is helping your kids learn how to make good decisions. And if you can just succeed in this one area, you've given your child a great gift, what the Bible calls a wise and discerning heart. So when your kids do make a smart choice, celebrate it. Even if it's a small decision. Hey, Sarah, I saw you outside. The boys wanted you to play basketball, but you decided to come in and finish your homework. That was a hard decision, but it was a good decision. Well done. You can even make a bigger deal of bigger good decisions, you know? Make a toast at the family meal. Take everyone out for ice cream to acknowledge a great big choice that was made. So affirmation is huge. A lot of people live without it, and dads especially can really affirm their kids, and it makes a big difference in their lives. So that was from brettpowell.org. Brett's a great guy. I really think you should check out his blog. Well, listen, we are almost to the end of the show, but I don't want to let you go without producer Lucas spinning for you what he's worked on so hard all day, the week that was. Here it is. Enoch is actually the son of Jared. Not the jewelry guy. You know, we can only be children. No, not that guy. Now, Enoch, it says, he walked with God. So he was really righteous. He was a righteous dude, despite the fact that he lived in an atmosphere of sin. So that's a great example for all of us today. The Bible's really telling us something about God. God is the main character here. And what we see here is that God could have easily struck Cain down for killing his brother. He could have wrought vengeance upon him, but he didn't do that. He actually showed mercy. Don't be afraid. He's not going to go medieval on you, but he is going to tell us what's going on with a great feast day today. We want to welcome to the program. We want to welcome back a great friend, Father Eric Nicolai.
Michelangelo made it very, very serene, right?
That's right.
She's accepting it. And, you know, he was only like 18 years old when he sculpted this.
It's absolutely incredible.
It's the only sculpture that he actually signed.
But I got to go with Jordan as the GOAT. Happy birthday to the GOAT, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. How about that? All right, let's get back to Lent. Enough sports talk, but had to throw a birthday shout out to MJ there. And I think, Lucas, you've got some poetry reading music for us, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I've got my smoking jacket on. I've got my pipe. Okay, so here's the poem. It's called A Better Resurrection by Christina Rossetti. My life is like a broken bowl that cannot hold one drop of water for my soul, or cordial in the searching cold. Cast in the fire the perished thing. Melt and remold it till it be a royal cup for him, my king. O Jesus, drink of me. Father Rocky, you've got a new set of Lenten lessons for us this year. One of your favorite theologians, and mine too, is of course Cardinal Ratzinger.
One of those zingers in his book called Light of the World, he said, if the Eucharist is what we really believe it is, then the Eucharist is the event that's at the center of absolutely everything.
As we enter into this Lenten journey, let's ask Our Lady. Remember, she stood at the foot of the cross. She was involved with the Passion. She suffered along with her son. We were entrusted as her children on Calvary, right? You know, woman, here's your son, here's your mother. And she will help to keep us, as her children, close to her crucified son this Lent. Incredible job, Lucas Holt, producer Lucas, creating the week that was on the Cale Clark Show. Wow, awesome job, Lucas, man. You are the man. I really appreciate that. Really
hey,
appreciate
you got
that.
It. You make my job easy, so there's a ton of stuff to pull from.
Well, you know what? I really enjoyed your poetry reading music that you provided me with this week. That I'm never going to read another poem without a specific curated soundtrack of poetry reading music from you, Lucas.
Well, I'm just going to be stuck with an image of you in a jacket in a library smoking a pipe. So,
absolutely. I don't smoke a pipe. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't smoke anything, I'll tell you. But we do need some holy smoke this Lent, that is for sure. And let's let the prayers rise up to God like incense. That's the kind of smoke he likes, pleasing to him. I wish you all a great weekend and a very happy and holy Lent. We're just getting started. Let's make this the best Lent ever. I want to thank Lucas Holt for producing, Karen Moran for working social media, Patrick Alog for screening the calls. Timmy's up next. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.